This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. It is here. Playoff basketball on Sunday. Yes. And NFL draft less than a week away. Padres in town for the Astros. This is a good sports week lining up, man. Very good sports week, and we're getting it kicked off here on a Friday. If you are working today and you're in your car driving in, we appreciate you getting up with us. Check in with us on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-460. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello, Seth Payne.
What's up, man? This is it's an exciting weekend. You've got your Rockets jersey on, and it says yes. Pendergast on the back.
Indeed. Yes. Thank
Memorial
you to the
Herman in the front.
Thank you to the a little signage right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Rockets, as many of you have probably seen on social media. They hooked us up with some jerseys, so I'm making sure I wear mine today so I can show my spirit on the YouTube and Twitch streams and around town. When I go to the men's tea clinic a little later today for that syringe, I'll have my Rockets jersey on. So just spreading the good
like
spirit.
A real professional athlete.
Don't I look
getting
it?
Getting your injection.
Yeah, man. Yes, 2 days before the game. Hell yeah.
Hey, I'm ready to go.
I'm leaning
into
the gimmick.
Big playoff game on Sunday.
How much
testosterone can you give me?
Going to see my side piece right after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, again, then have one of your buddies who's swindling money from you come after. You've got that. You got that guy that sold
thing.
You on being your Latin interpreter.
Yes.
Who also manages your gambling accounts.
I'm going to jam the entire crooked athlete gimmick into 24 hours.
Yeah.
Syringes, side pieces, wearing my jersey around town, the whole thing.
And
yes.
On Tuesday at 2 a.m., you're going to die of a cocaine overdose.
Exactly.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a blisteringly awesome three or four days.
The athlete of the 80s fantasy camp is what that is. Yes. I was talking.
Yeah, shout out to athletes not dying of cocaine overdose.
It's big.
As much
anymore. It's been a good development. Yeah, no doubt.
I never get credit for that.
You and I were talking right before the show, and I said to you, and I wonder if the audience is feeling this too. Like we went the better part of 4+ years without the Rockets playing a meaningful basketball game. Like, and we survived just fine through that time.
Make
no mistake.
I developed a cocaine habit.
Make no mistake. And side pieces and syringes. And we survived just fine. Make no mistake. It is awesome having the Rockets back and being relevant and getting ready to play some high-level playoff basketball. But we went 4 years and we were okay. They last played a meaningful game, ironically enough, against Golden State on April the 6th. It was a Sunday, April the 6th. And that's 12 days ago. And I feel... You know, they played three meaningless games at the end of the season because they'd clinched the 2 seed. And then they haven't played a game at all in 6 days. And I'm tripping out right now. I'm like, man, when are we going to get some Rockets basketball? It's almost as if the previous 4 years didn't even exist. It's like, hey, Sean, you survived just fine for 4 years. I know, but this has been really fun having them be very, very good at basketball again. Well, I can't wait for Sunday night to get here.
It'd be nice if this time last year when the Astros were really, really struggling to have playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. So this is where when you've got three teams that are playoff caliber, the dead spots in the sports calendar aren't nearly as vast.
Yeah.
So that's been a part of it. It's just flat out, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is one of those periods where you've got three playoff caliber teams. All right, I don't have to actually sit around and think about real life as much as I might otherwise.
It is really cool. Like, this is truly the first time in a long time that we've had all three teams be, and it's early for the Astros, and people are probably rolling their eyes at that. Like, that's a playoff team right now. They're 8-10. They're always 8-10 this time.
Everybody's 8-10 right now.
No, in the American League, nobody's won more than 11 games. Like, nobody's out of it at this point at all. But yeah, so for the Rockets, okay, so let's rapid fire this Rockets
Yankees
thing.
Yankees have 12 now, by the way.
They do. They won last night.
So do the Rangers.
Bastards. Yeah. And Rangers are phony. So the storylines with this series here, I was thinking about this last night. What are the reasons I'm most excited? In Pendergast fashion, I've got five of them here. Counting down. Draymond versus Dillon Brooks. And really, Draymond versus the world. Everybody versus Draymond. As much as I complained about Draymond in that April 6th game that I just got done talking about, where he was at major, like, scale of 1 to 10, 12 a-hole level in that game, and I'm like, I can't do seven games of this. I've changed my mind. I can do seven games of this. This is fun.
I guess my big question for Draymond versus Dillon is, who's more baitable? That you got to be careful about all of that. You know, Dillon Brooks, by and large, people had their feelings about Dillon Brooks, but when he said that he pokes bears in talking about LeBron James, that's where everything kind of blew up in his face in terms of the way people were talking about Dillon Brooks. The whatever it comes to pushing the envelope or pushing the line, I think the Rockets hopefully are very much the team that the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, where the Eagles knew what the challenge was, and they didn't fall for any of Travis Kelce's BS.
That's right.
Travis Kelce was out there doing all the crap that he gets away with. Like, Travis Kelce gets away with stuff the same way Draymond Green does, of trying to instigate, and the Eagles were really disciplined about just like, nah, bro, we're going to instigate you every now and then.
Yeah, it's
but they did not bite, and I think that's big. You don't have to prove your manhood or something versus Draymond.
Dillon was asked about that yesterday. I don't have the clip. I just happened, you brought this up, and I happened to see him talking to the media yesterday at practice, and they asked him, like, who's gonna cave first? Like, who's going to, you know? And he's like, I'm not getting ejected from any of these games. They need Dillon Brooks out there. That's the thing. Like, Draymond's goonery is just woven into, like, if Draymond is not that, then he's not Draymond. Whereas I think Dillon Brooks, to your point, Seth, I think has kind of evolved as a basketball person. I mean, he still is chippy. It's still part of his thing. He also happens to be the Rockets, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm putting Reed Sheppard out of this conversation, he's their best three-point shooter this year. He's shot 40% from three this year. They need Dillon Brooks out on the floor. Like, he can't fall for any of this.
He's just got to wear a cup.
Yeah.
Because Draymond at some point is going to pull his patented crotch kick.
Yep.
That's where a big tough guy's signature move is to kick you in the nargs.
Yep.
Just be careful.
Number four, that was number five, Draymond versus Dillon. Number four, exercising the ghosts of the Harden era, which the team has completely downplayed. Like, Fred VanVleet got asked about it the other day. Like, how about all those series that the Rockets lost to the Warriors back from 2015 to 2019? He's like, I don't care. I don't. That's a different team. Like, this is that has nothing to do with
that. Yeah, these guys don't have that memory of it. It's kind of like when the Texans play the Bills. That's an extreme version of it. All right, the fans feel a certain way about
it because
the Oilers versus the Bills.
Yeah,
but the players on the team have zero clue about it.
But I do
even the ones who grew up in Houston, they're young enough now that they have very little clue about it.
But I do think it's relevant to the fans. I think there is a big feeling of the laundry out on the floor, the jerseys, that they would be exercising some of those ghosts. Number three, I think this is a massive opportunity for Jalen Green to go from rising star to star, not just in this series, but in this postseason. And Jalen Green's game has evolved tremendously over the course of this season, where he's gone from being a 20 or 21 point scorer, which he was already last year, to being an efficient 20 or 21 point per game scorer who has learned to see the whole floor. He's become a better ball distributor. He's become a more willing defender. And they're going to be playing in some close games, and this team is going to be leaning on him late in those games to go get baskets.
Yeah, and he passed a big maturity check in the last Warriors game, where he wasn't playing well in the first half, came out and just flipped the switch in the second half.
Yes.
And everything that he's done in working with Ime Udoka and just becoming a just much more calm, cool, and collected veteran player, mm-hmm. that's put to the test in the playoffs. Yeah, like, and okay, does he maintain those habits? Does he maintain all that? I trust that he will.
Yeah.
It's a big test versus the Warriors.
It's a big test, and it's a huge opportunity for him, man. I think a bigger opportunity for him than any other player on the Rockets in terms of their profile. Number two, Ime Udoka redemption time. Not just redemption. I mean, look, when he lost in the finals as the coach of the Celtics, it was to the Warriors, you know. So he's back 3 years ago, I think, in 2022.
Yeah.
So he's got a history with the Warriors. He was off the grid for a year after the way in which he got fired in Boston. You know, a deep Rockets playoff run. I think people already respect Ime Udoka as a head coach. They know he's a good head coach. To be able to put playoff productivity with this new team that he has in year two with it, I think would be a major story.
Yeah, no, and I think that's probably the biggest X factor in terms of a team that doesn't look like the conventional championship caliber team or a team that makes a deep playoff run. They also excel at a lot of things, the rebounding specifically. But Udoka and his ability to kind of exploit matchups and his ability to make adjustments throughout the game, I feel a whole lot better about Ime Udoka than if you had some guy that was a rookie head coach with zero playoff experience.
Or rookie head coach, or just one of these retreads that just happens to hook up with. You know, you see this.
Yeah.
The league is full of coaches like that. They're like, guy's on their third team, but he's a good networker. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to
drive my race car. Let's drive the same race car and see who does better. I like Udoka better than Doc Rivers.
Yes. Yeah. Doc Rivers, perfect example. Perfect example of that. Yes. So
Steve Kerr, I'm not so sure about. We'll have to see.
The problem is
Steve Kerr has been in this race. Steve Kerr has a lot of experience and time with his race car. Udoka does not have nearly as much time with his race car. And at various times this year, it needed tuning up.
Yeah. I think Kerr's a good head coach. He's so whiny, man. He's so whiny.
I think he's a good head coach.
To stay on a transcript, that would look like a compliment. On this radio show, it sounded like, on the radio show, it was very begrudging. It sounds
a little bit almost like the Take a Mania take by Angelo Cataldi.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is the all-time overrated head coach.
I said he's a good coach. I didn't call him a fraud.
Yeah.
All right. And then the final one, disrespect for the two seed, man. It's been a long time since I can remember a higher seeded team being, and this isn't like a four getting dismissed over a five. This is a two that clinched the two with a week and a half left in the season, and they are getting completely dismissed on the national talk shows. The pundits, they had their picks on ESPN, Seth, like all their NBA experts. You know, they do that thing before the playoffs, and they just list on a grid like what all eight of their experts have, and it's like Warriors in seven, Warriors in six, Warriors in six. There was one ESPN expert, Bobby Marks, the former GM for the Nets, picked the Rockets in six. Other than that, it was just a Warriors love fest. Just everybody slurping up the Warriors, man.
They transitioned very quickly from, oh, the NCAA tournament needs Cinderella. That's what's missing from the beauty of it. Yeah. To, you go to the NBA, it's like, oh, Houston Rockets, die by fire, die by fire. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast, what are your thoughts? Did I miss any there on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line? If you're up with us this morning, hit us up, 713-572-4610. So we're off and running. Plenty of Rockets talk today on the show. Thank you again to the Rockets for the jersey that I know they got everybody up here at the station. I saw people around town unveiling theirs as well. So that's really cool to see, man. It's got to be fun in the building over there right now. No doubt about that. So if you're up early with us, we appreciate that. Up next, we finally heard from Aaron Rodgers, and he gave us an update on whether he's going to play again, but the story of his trip to New York to meet with the Jets, and this kind of has a Houston tie, given that Aaron Glenn is the coach of the Jets now.
And I know Aaron. I played with Aaron. I enjoy envisioning this in my mind and seeing how it all went down.
Yeah. I as I'm listening to this story, I'm like, I cannot wait for Seth to hear this story or to talk about this story with him on Friday. So we'll do that. That thing I couldn't wait for, we will do coming up next.